World's on fire. Our culture is disintegrating.
Hey, pass the salt.
It's time. Hey, you, pass the salt.
You know what, why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed in this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Man, last day of 2025. I could keep thinking it's 2024. And as I just said here in the pre-show, Lord, let the words of our lips and meditation of our heart be pleasing in your sight, Lord Jesus. Do you ever think you'd be alive in 2026? Huh? What? In the year 2025. Remember that? And here we are, flipping over to 2026. And look, no show tomorrow. And the reason I'm saying no show tomorrow, I'll get up and do it. I'm doing the show. I'll get up and do it. But in deference, that's a word I learned, to the guys who run the show, I don't want Spencer to have to get up. Spencer said he would. But I don't want to have to get up on New Year's morning and come in here and do this show. It's not like the world's going to fall apart without the show. So, well, we won't have a show tomorrow. Just appreciate all of it. Hey, I want to clear a couple things up here real quickly. Number one, I want to thank JR. For hosting the show yesterday, or was it yesterday, Tuesday? I lost all track of time. But it caused a little bit of confusion. I talked to JR yesterday. Pull up number one for me, Spencer. Hey, folks, here at Coach Dave Live, this is what we've been supporting. We've been supporting Redneck Housing Relief. And that's, we've given, you guys, you've given a lot of money through us to them. And JR wasn't trying to undermine us with this new money. It's just, there's a lot of places you can give. There's a lot of places. But I know that people like, I could run down a list, Betty and Jeff Klein, they're still driving our truck down there. Dave Allison, right? They're still driving our truck down there. They've been doing it for a long time. This is where our money has been going, and our money continues to go. So I don't want, I don't want anybody to be confused. Or who do we support? Yada, yada. Did we change it? No. This is who we support. Not that you can't help others, but I want to clear it up that everybody understands. No, we didn't kick these guys to the curb. No, we've been. Betty, you have anything to say about that? Because we're still, you've been down there a number of times. We got the truck down there. I mean, this is it, right, Betty?
Boom. And they still need help. There are people still freezing to death in tents. And just like some of the people say up there, gotten out of their home area because they're basically stuck in there because the bridges are gone. So imagine being in your area where your house is destroyed for a year and a half, not seeing anybody or anything. It's horrible. It's heartbreaking.
So I want you folks to know this is the ministry we support down there. Okay. This is now Blosman. I know it's Dave Allison. We all hate talking about money, right? But look, folks, we've been consistently buying propane down there. That's who we support. Everybody clear on what I'm talking about here? That's where the money that you guys donate here goes. Redneck Housing Relief, Bosman for the propane, all that kind of stuff. And we support other ministries that are doing whatever, and God bless them in any way we can help them. But this is where we're sticking on.
Hey, Jeff, Coach. Could I say one quick thing? You always say, who told you that and why do you believe that? Maybe us people should say, how would you feel to live in those shoes? What would you think?
Yeah. Amen. And that's a great mission down there. Go ahead, Jeff.
Coach, I walked into the post office yesterday morning when that window.
By the way, they're still driving Jeff Klein's, that truck we got that we bought, and they're still driving it. Jeff paid the insurance. I don't know. We're probably at the end of that. Just so you know. Go ahead, Jeff.
Well, we're at the end of it, all right. Here's what happened. First, I had a guy in the post office yesterday, wind blowing 50 miles an hour. He was freezing, carrying packages. I said, buddy, think about this. I said, how'd you like to be living in a tent in North Carolina right now? The same way. He just said, oh, no. And then I got to chat with him about that. But the truck, here's the good news. I talked to Nate yesterday for almost an hour. Maybe yesterday, day before. He's sharing stuff with me. It just blows my mind. But Jeffrey, the guy we originally got the truck from that was in prison, it came back and paid me. We just now got that title. That has been a year. That title ain't been in your name or my name or nothing. Some other strange dude. Jeffrey finally got it because they were crooking him. So Jeffrey said, I'm going to sign that title over to them and just give them that truck. It's theirs now. It's going to be free. So they got it full of medical supplies. They would have moved it and emptied it and got it ready if Jeffrey wanted to come in. But he said, no. He said, I've been blessed. I'm going to bless them people. So I hooked Jeffrey up with Nate, and they talk, and they're tickled. So,
okay, so folks, these are all connections that we've made. Okay, so our support Nate, down has been ongoing.
Nate brags up past the salt. So he said, man, you guys have been a blessing. He's a great. So I'm sitting here getting ready to write him a check right now and mail this morning.
He's folks, do that if you want to, whatever. Right?
Yep.
You can give it to us and we'll funnel it down there, but you can do it. You can go online and dump money in there. We don't have to go through us. All right. I just want to clarify that, you know, JR was shown another opportunity because it's still going on down there. So it's all good. Thanks, Jeff. Come on, Ray.
Yeah, I was just thinking about that. You know how you get pictures on your phone about what you did a year ago, and they're starting to show up now. It was a year ago that you ordained all this to take place. Yeah. You got the word, and Clay Parker and a bunch of them all went down there and got it established. And when we went down there, because of the efforts of giving stuff away, we kind of that was when Cowboy Dave was down there as well. And there was a charity, Embers or something, I can't remember the name now, Brian, that saw what we were doing down there. And he was impressed. Oh, I know how he saw it. It was on the North Carolina news that night. Somebody had videoed what we were doing down there. And he saw it. And then he came down and he stood on the bank of the hill watching what we were doing down there. And the next day he came down, gave me a check for $10,000. And that's what we used to open up the account with Blossom. And the connections just started flowing as God directed us with Redneck Housing. These people were just a blessing to be able to funnel this money over to. So kudos to everybody that was involved in this. Amen.
Amen. Amen. My brother Joe snuck in from Bahrain. Is that where you are?
Yeah, Bahrain.
He's in from Bahrain. So he's kind of riding herd here with me. Just Dave Allison, come on in. Hey, folks, look, here's what I know. This is in my experience anyway, is from a Christian perspective. There's a masculine and a feminine side to Christianity. Coach, what do you mean by that? Well, the feminine side or the motherly side is mercy ministries, feeding people, clothing people. And we all love to do that, right? Because it makes us feel good. I mean, you go give somebody a hamburger that's hungry, you leave, you feel good about it, right? But there's also, and the world is full of mercy ministries, but there's also the masculine side of God. And that is this: you wait till your father gets home. And the masculine side of God brings what? Judgment, correction, direction. And here at Coach Dave Live, we try to do both. Although, to be honest with you, I'm more of you wait till your dad gets home. Meaning what? Preventative rather than reparative. And so, you know, there's two aspects of it. And I think if you look at your local church, you're probably more reparative than preventative, right? The truth of the gospel. So we don't apologize for that. That's kind of where we are. We think that we need to man up, Christian men. We need to man up and help expand the kingdom. Dave Allison, come on in. Because Dave's in Detroit, and he's been really, really active down there in North Carolina. Go ahead, Dave.
Okay, Coach, so I want to circle back around and get us focused back in. And what happened was there's 1,000 needs down there. No, there's 1,000,000 needs down there, right?
2,000,000.
We know that. There's 10 million. 10 million needs down there. But we decided last year after Ray, we went down there, we seen what was going on. We decided as a ministry, we were going to focus on one thing.
That's right.
And that's propane. We can't do it all, but we said we can do something. This is not Samaritan's Purse here. This is Pastor Salt Ministry.
That's right. That's right.
And we decided we were going to focus on, if we could do one thing, let's do one thing and do it well.
That's right.
And that was propane.
That's right.
That's why we got into this. We're not saying that maybe we'll assemble some guys later and go down and help Nate do whatever. But right now, Coach, correct me if I'm wrong, we decided a long time ago, let's do one thing and let's do it well. Mm-hmm. Right?
That's right. That's right.
And that's why we focused on the propane. Amen. You know, Betty and everyone else gave all kinds of stuff, took goods down there, whatever. That's beautiful. For this past assault ministry, we decided let's do one thing and let's do one thing well. Let's do propane. And that's why we focused on the propane. It's not that we've ignored all the other needs down there, but we realize that propane is such a critical element that if we can do that and do that well, we've provided a great need. Thanks, Coach, and thanks everyone who supported that, because it's been a huge blessing. And like Nate says, it's been phenomenal what we've done. So thanks for letting me share, Coach. That's why I wanted to focus back in. As Fast Assault Ministry, that's why we hooked up with Redneck Relief and Blasman, is so we can do one thing and do it well. Praise God.
That's right. That's right. And we knew that that need was there and continues to be there, still sleeping in tents, still need propane. And Dave Allison's done a great job of keeping that account up to date and funneling money in there. And yeah, they still need help down there, folks. They still do. And again, that gives us, a prime understanding. If a hurricane or a tornado were to hit where you live right now, is the local church prepared to help people? And it'd be my experience is no. No. Because we've been trained that when hey, Betty, help me out here. When disaster hits, who do we look towards, Betty?
The government.
The government. The government can, right? When the mercy ministry is the job of the church, one of the jobs of the church. And when the government said, we'll do it, the church said, oh, God, thank goodness. We can build bigger buildings now. We can have more programs now. Thank God we don't have to worry about feeding those people. And so now we've made people dependent on the government for all types of relief. It's everywhere we look, right? So just thanks to all of you that are faithful and help us support what's going on down there. And we haven't changed. We still support all those. Just want to make that clear. Go ahead, Jeff, quickly.
Nate and Kristen will be on JR's show Saturday morning at 10 o'clock.
Good, good, good. Yep, amen, amen, amen. All right, so a lot going on, man. I didn't know if my brother Joe was going to pop in there. He's here. Joe's a, what would you call yourself, Joe?
A witness, a testimony, an outreach.
An outreach.
Of the resurrected Christ.
In where?
In Bahrain. It's in the Persian Gulf. It's an island right across from Saudi Arabia, about 20 miles by causeway, which is a bridge over the water. And my country is more liberal than Saudi. There you can get in big trouble for the gospel. There in my country, you get in little trouble, not much. So we're able to meet. We have a little church to meet in the house. And we preach the gospel on the street. We see Muslims getting saved and baptized. And we got to be careful, because if they're too young and we're proselytizing, then the trouble can start. But if it's an adult seeking the Lord, maybe they had a dream. They dreamed about Jesus. Now they want to find him. They have to come to the church, right? You only find the Lord directly through other people. If you find the Lord through a dream and you're not directed to the Bible, to the verses in the Bible that unveil the initial steps of salvation, you stay in that dream. And this recently, a brother was saved among us who'd been dreaming about the Lord since he was 13. Now he's 32. Amen. And I asked him, would you like to read the Bible? And he just froze in time. I could see his mind was thinking, his spirit was moving. Since he was a young boy, they put him out behind the mosque because he wouldn't get with the program. He felt he didn't belong there, didn't know why. And an Indian woman who was a Christian would come down and comfort him, say, it's going to be all right. You're going to be all right. He knew that was the spirit of Jesus in her, though she never said it. And this kind of set him to seek this inward experience of Christ as the life-giving spirit. And this went on and on. And he learned English by using Google Translate. Somebody would say something online, he'd translate it. He'd write an answer in Arabic and he'd translate it back. And he just persevered. A remarkable gift to our little church from the Lord. when a new one comes in who's very hungry and sincere, it just brings so much life into the body of Christ.
Mm.
And so that's what we're doing. We're looking for the Bible calls them the sons of peace. If you go and knock on the door and they let you in, that means the son of peace is in there. It's a phrase in the Bible. And if they cast you away, just leave. Knock the dust
off
your
feet.
Keep going.
Right.
And we have friends who are working in the region who will contact 5,000 people on the street. Would you like to read the Bible? Yes or no? And that's how it begins, saints. When we bring the word of God to the people of God that God has chosen already in eternity past, but in time is calling them, we just have a really little impact and a little ministry. But it's very satisfying because it's real, you know.
Okay, so let me stop you a second.
Yeah.
Because we don't know. What's it like in a Muslim country? Are they your enemy? Do you have to hide your faith? What's it like?
In many Muslim countries, you must hide your faith. You can't show too much joy. People are watching you, depending on the degree of animosity they have toward the Lord Jesus. You can get in trouble real quick. The police will follow you. People stand on the street dressed in black, and they're just unemployed men, but they're watchers. They're watching for trouble. So you got to be careful in those countries, and you don't know when the knock on the door will come, when the handcuffs will come. It's when I got to Bahrain, I just felt so good. I could lock my door at night and know nobody's going to come bother me, because there is the first location for a Western missionary in the Gulf.
Hey, Spencer, see if you can find Bahrain on the map there, so people can see what we're talking about here. But it's basically, it's a Muslim country?
It's a Muslim country.
Mm-hmm.
Totally, yeah. But they're looking to the West, and they're friends with the U.S. Navy who's stationed there. So it's a good place to be. My son says, Dad, that's age appropriate for you and Mom to be there. And we agree. It's good duty. It's just in the summer, it's a little way too hot. You can imagine.
So, folks, real quick, just so we understand, there's Saudi Arabia. Okay, so... isn't this amazing? This technology is unbelievable. So there they are in the Persian Gulf. People don't never Bahrain. What's that? Huh? Where? Well, that's what do you do? What do you do there? Joe's a PhD. Worked for
government
agencies. He's a PhD.
Environmental policy.
I
chose that because I thought I could go overseas and get a decent job helping with the environment. And it's something I've interested in. We grew up in the woods, in the river, in the streams. And we love outdoors. So I thought environmental is going to be a good field. But it's just all about money and power, personality and strife. And after 10 years of that, I walked away and went and taught elementary special education down in rural Georgia. And it wasn't real challenging, but it was something like Mr. Rogers. You can remember the Mr. Rogers show. I'm just there giving out warm soup, spiritually speaking, to the children and fellow but anywhere we go, and we're a true believer, we're following the Lamb, we shall expect tribulations, right?
Amen.
There's always going to be somebody to trouble your waters and try to tip you out of your boat.
Mm-hmm.
But in Bahrain, we just go about looking for souls the Lord's preparing. And when we find one, we disciple them, bring them into the kingdom of God.
Okay, so let me.
I know you all do the same thing.
Yeah, let me elbow back in there again. Yeah. So, from your perspective, we are seeing, like in Dearborn, Michigan, up in the Detroit area, that is becoming unbelievably Muslim. What's the danger with that, from your perspective?
Oh my goodness, my perspective is weak because I don't follow that. But
I mean, the Muslim whole. Jeff, now good to see you. I told my wife that I got to call Jeff now. I haven't heard from him in a while. Good to see you. In other words. Islam's about conquering, is it not?
Absolutely.
And so they may give the impression that they want to coexist, but
they
just,
don't.
They don't want to coexist.
They have a 100-year plan, and we know this, right?
Yeah.
And they plan to do some things to take over Europe and the United States. And it's going to come down to the final battle at Armageddon, and their savior is going to be our Antichrist, if you know what I mean.
Mm.
The roles are going to reverse at the end. And then it'll be clear that the lovers and followers of the Lamb are not going to be able to pretend and hide somewhere in a Christian milieu.
Going to flush it out, right?
Flush it out. So we're preparing. You and I, we are preparing for the Lord's return. And it's a wonderful heavenly calling, saints.
Amen.
Let's press on.
Joe, Mark Trump's asked a question, or maybe, I think it's Mark. They want to destroy our religion and culture with the browning of America, shipping Muslims in here. Would you agree with that? They want, they're going to come in, they're going to try to be real nice, lovey, lovey, lovey. We just want our own, right? And then they, it's to conquer.
I think that's becoming the common understanding of their migration. It's to take over. It's not to make friends. It's not to benefit from Western culture. It's to wipe us out and replace the world with Sharia law. I think that's where it's heading.
Yeah. So, because we've been doing some work up in Dearborn, Michigan, that place is absolutely.
I mean, Minnesota's in the same.
They're even worse than that. I'm just going to pause. Anybody got, want to come in here? I didn't mean to make it all about this, but it's really real, folks. This is so critical for us to understand, and what we're talking about, and what we see going on in Minnesota with the billions of dollars being flooded into Minnesota, into these Muslim communities, and it's not doing what they said they would do. Billions and billions of dollars, we're finding out, that the government is giving to these Muslims to overthrow America. Ultimately, that's what it's about, isn't it?
It's backwards.
we're giving them, we're paying them to overthrow us, and see, we still don't understand. We think they're a religion of peace, and they're just here, and they're in America, and everybody has a right to do what they want to do. We've been so freaking brainwashed to not understand what's going on. Ray, come on in, Ray. Hey, Ray, tell us your story, not your life story. Come on in.
Is there a language barrier there? Speak a lot of English, or do you have a language barrier?
Of course, the ones I would speak with would have to speak English. Their language there is Arabic, but a good number of them have some passable English that you can communicate. So, of course, there's a great barrier. And
like, do they know you're a Christian? Do they identify a Christian? Do they see it on the street and say, that guy's not one of us?
I wanted to make the point that the first Christian missionaries in the Persian Gulf came to Bahrain. It was a medical doctor from Michigan State University. And you can see from the early photos, they really paid a price. And they suffered from the heat and the austerity of the environment. But they grew up with the kingdom. The kingdom of Bahrain's fairly new. And they grew up with the king and the kingdom. And so Western missionaries are respected. And they have a cathedral, they have hospitals, they have interfaith dialogue. And so it's passable there to be a Christian. If you ever want to come, your brother Dave here, we would receive you. Come for a week or two and touch the waters and see.
Do you pass off gospel tracts?
It's a great place to visit.
I'd rather go to Fort Lauderdale. Anyway, go ahead. What'd you say, Ray?
Just gospel tracts. You pass them out in their language, or?
Yeah, you can.
Reach them.
Isn't it illegal to share the gospel with them, Joe? Do you have to sneak to do it? That's what I'm asking.
You got to be careful. It is illegal, but it's not enforced like that.
But they could at any time snatch you up for it.
Bahrain will not do it because America, in a sense,
protection.
Security-wise, they own them.
That's right.
Yeah.
Amazing. Yeah. Craig, come on in.
Well, ma'am, maybe Spencer could pull up, just Arab Spring. So who was president during Arab Spring? Well, that was Barack Obama. When did it start? A year or two into his term, as his first term. Who was the Secretary of State? Hillary Clinton. So this was a planned upheaval of Muslim countries.
Undermining of Christianity, a purposeful undermining of Christianity in America. Would you say that, Craig?
Well, didn't he say we weren't a Christian nation anymore? I believe he did.
Yeah. You're not Obama. No longer a Christian nation.
We're no longer a Christian nation. Well, part of the reason was he's going to ship some of them people who are politically displaced, economically displaced, war-torn displaced. That's why Benghazi was such an important thing. This was a strategic move to displace Muslim people out of their own homes and migrate them into the West because they knew that they could overtake them over decades. Like your brother said, they have a 100-year plan. They have a 100-year plan.
I'm sorry, Craig. I didn't mean to walk over. It's important I say that. They will appear to be your friend until they get in positions of power. When they get in positions of power, then it's Sharia law, right? I mean, it's their way or the highway, literally.
So, well, that's how. Yeah, see, that's what Muhammad did when he went up to Medina and all these other areas that he first came into. Mecca. They kicked him out of Mecca. So what did he do? He goes up to Medina. He made friends. This is Bill Federer stuff, right? He made friends with the Jewish people, and then he killed them all. went back. And when he was strong, he went back to Mecca, killed them. And he said, okay, we're going to throw out your other 500 gods. And ours is number one. That's strategy. That's day one stuff.
And Craig, the truth be told, right? we are still told here in America that they're a peaceful religion, right? And the undermining going on right in front of us, because we see them in the hijabs and all that stuff. They just look like normal, peaceful people. But as we're seeing what's going on up in Minnesota, I don't know how much you're on top of all that, Joe. It's unbelievable what's happening in Minnesota. They are invading. They're invading and outproducing us. They're having like 8, 9 children. Just the folks. it's a war for sure. Betty.
Yes. On Rob Pugh's show last night on Wisconsin Christian News, that Shram, he's a Christian Muslim. Yeah. Well, he was on last night and he was saying that Michigan, Minnesota, Virginia, and New York, when they start doing that call 5 times a day, it actually kind of means they've already conquered those states. So now they're working.
You get a call every night? Yeah.
Yeah. And
it's a Muslim nation, right?
With big mosques and they wear long gowns, cover their heads.
Yeah. But Betty's saying that they're doing it here in the United States now, right,
sure.
Betty?
Yes.
You're born again, the plain public.
Yeah. Yeah, Minneapolis, all
the state, isn't it? They say to us. I'm sorry, go ahead. But so let me show this, Betty, because you just walked me into something. Spencer, pull up number 3. I don't know if you know this or not. We've been hearing a lot about what's going on in Minnesota. It's just a real short video. I'll play about 1.5 minutes of it, and then you can watch it later. Columbus, Ohio is the second worst place in America.
For what?
For Islam, Muslim invasion of Islam. Play it real quickly. Just a couple
children
minutes.
Here. You can't do that? No kids? So how can I enroll my children? It says you get public money through. You get public money through Ohio. You get money through the state of Ohio. This is a money that gets.
Ladies and gentlemen, what Ilhan Omar and the Somalis in Minnesota are doing is bad, but what they've been doing in Ohio is outrageous and possibly worse. Because in a lot of ways, what they're doing in Minnesota is unsurprising. For one, it's run by liberals, but you wouldn't expect it in a red state like Ohio. But now citizen journalists are doing what the mainstream media has refused to do for decades: reveal the truth to the public. Nick Shirley led the wave by exposing Minneapolis, and now citizen journalists are converging on Columbus, Ohio, and exposing millions and billions of dollars in Somali-led fraud. And now
billions
ICE is surging resources.
Put it in the chat so people can watch it on their own. This is very, very real. This is the heartland of America. And folks, Spencer, throw that picture you had up there again, because I want all of you to understand this. Why Minnesota? Why Ohio? Why Dearborn, Michigan? Folks, they want the fresh water of the Great Lakes. They want to control the fresh water of the Great Lakes. They think once they're able to get a good foothold in those areas, boom, that's what will happen, right? So think about it. Where are we hearing it? Dearborn, Michigan, Minnesota, the headwaters of the Mississippi River. That's where a lot of this Muslim infiltration is taking place. They say the third greatest place in America is, my brain went dead, Springfield, Ohio. So folks, it's here. It's already here. And there this is a whole nother story. Mark Trump, come on in, Mark.
Yes, can you hear me?
Yes.
Oh, good. One of the big deals they're moving away from to come to America is they don't have water over there. Israel controls the biggest desalinity systems. And basically, they envy Italy or Israel being on the Mediterranean. So there's a big, big fight over water, and now they're here. So they're bringing their fight here, Coach, over water.
Yep. And Mark, then, where are they settling? They're settling up at the Great States, Great Lakes States.
That's right. I totally get it. It makes perfect sense. Now, of course, you got the water going down in the Great Lakes. Microsoft's building the largest data center on Earth on the Great Lakes, and it's just going to continue. And they know the only water reserves are going to be where the last life will be on Earth, is where the water is at. That's it.
Yep.
Amen.
That's what I'll never forget. It's probably 20 years ago, whatever. I was watching a news show or whatever, and somebody said, I wish I could remember who it was. It's some national figure. And they said, what's the biggest problem we're facing here in America? And the guy just kind of stroked his beard. And he says, well, it's soon to be fresh water. I never forgot that, right? And so you look at my brother, by the way, my brother Amen. Joe still owns a home in New Albany, Ohio, which Joe, I don't know if you know this, that's the greatest conflict going on in Ohio right now is in New Albany over that Intel building that's trying to come in there because of all the water they're going to rape out of the Hoover Reservoir.
Oh,
yeah. So
Amen.
These things are all strategic, right? It's amazing. Greg Yates. Come on in, Greg.
Yeah, I was just going to mention the same thing you guys just talked about. The AI centers is the biggest booming business in America. And besides silver, the number one thing they have to have to build these huge tech centers is water for cooling of the data. And it's all connected.
Wow. So, Greg,
that's right.
Joe didn't know about this. That's what our staking is all about. Spencer, throw that up there again, the picture of the Mississippi River, Crossroads of America. I'll tell you what's been going on later. Can you get up here, Spence? You just had it before. The Crossroads of America, and why our initiatives have been so important. That's the headwaters of the Mississippi River. I don't know if you know that.
Yeah.
It starts up in Minnesota. That's where it starts, right? Where are all these people? Why? They're up in Minnesota. Why are they up in Minnesota? Because of the fresh water, right? They want to control the fresh water. And then the Crossroads of America, they built the Gateway Arch in Washington, D.C., or I'm sorry, in St. Louis, Missouri,
yeah.
as a portal, gateway to the West, right?
Yeah.
And so we've been prayer walking, staking all the way from Washington, D.C., clear across the country, and we're building an X right in the middle of it. So the war is raging in many ways. Jeff out there in California. Hey, Jeff, I'm not making this up, man. I was thinking of you yesterday. I said, I got to call Jeff now. I haven't heard from you in a while. You doing okay, man? Well, we hit the wrong button. He'll come back. You're muted, Jeff. Jeff Nell, calling Jeff Nell. Come on down. You're the next contestant. Anybody? Joe, go ahead and say what you want. Go ahead.
Hey, Coach.
I'm sorry. He's there. Go, Coach? Jeff. Yeah, Donald, go. Whoever, go.
Carl, yeah. Yeah, that Detroit, you know, in the Indian Wars around here, that was where the last big battles were fought with Tecumseh up there taking control of that. They've always recognized that as the control center. That's why they built the big car plants up there and the tank factories. And a long time ago, my dad was in the Air Force back in that kind of stuff. And he said they uncovered an old Islamic plot to take over Detroit. So when the war broke out, they'd take control of the tank factories and stuff like that. Mm. They again uncovered that a long time ago. That's why they brought in the Orientals to build their car factories all over the United States. And so when that happened, they'd have alternate sources of vehicles and stuff like that. That's an ancient plot back in the 70s and before. You know, it's been going on. It's an active plan.
Yeah, well, boy, oh boy, oh boy. Jeff Nell, come on in now, Jeff. Try it again.
Yeah, you hear me now?
Yeah, buddy, we got you. Good to hear from you.
Well, I've been to Dubai, Kuwait City. I've been to Bahrain, all kinds of stuff. Being threatened with Iran, I tell you. Muslim is everywhere. It's everywhere. It's Indochina and stuff like that. Oh,
come into a city near you, right? Come into a city. Come into a city near you, right? Joe, do you think you're in the midst of all? Good to see you, Jeff. Do you think it's real what we're talking about? That the Muslims are literally going to try? Are they going to try? Or is this just more scare tactics? In your mind, are they trying to conquer the world?
It depends who we read, it doesn't it?
Yeah,
definitely the literature's there, and there's the neutral side that analyzes and lets people draw their own conclusions. But I tend to agree that the direction this talk is going this morning is at the heart and at the root of what's happening.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think
militant Islam, right?
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, as if you could be a peaceful Muslim or a militant.
Well, there are too many good Muslims, as good as any Baptist or Methodist you'll find in America. They care for their family and for their future and their reputation, and you wouldn't mind they're your neighbors. They'd be good neighbors. And that's probably the majority. But it's not the majority that's going to create the problem. It's the militant ones.
Right.
And I think, I hate to liken it to ISIS, but that's an extreme case of the potential of the movement of people across the waters is to bring in this kind of warfare that's going to change the mm-hmm. culture that we're living in. Yeah, mm-hmm. I think you're on something.
Come on in, Greg.
Hey, just to inform you again, I taught adult ed in Lewiston. 98% of my students were asylum seekers. And almost over half of them were from Angola. They're Portuguese Catholic. They're very learned people, and they're fleeing Angola because of communist China's takeover of that country since its fall with the Soviet Union. The other half was from the Congo. These were Congolese Christians that were running from the Islamic Horde, running into Congo and attacking them. So I found them pretty intelligent as a group of people, very motivated and family oriented. A lot of them went to Baptist Church in Lewiston. And when I asked those that I did find to be Muslim, I said, look, just to the side, you know, am I supposed to fear you? Are you here to kill me? And they would always say, no, that's the Islamists. Muslims are peaceful.
Yeah.
Oh, that's a good perspective. So if I could say this, that's why much of Christianity has a problem with me, with us, because we are, we're that warrior side of Christianity. And the whole idea, why can't we all just get along? When the Rodney King riots broke out, that's what they said. Why can't we all just get along? Well, we can't all just get along because we don't serve the same king, right? Mm-hmm. So it's dominant. So who's king over America? Who's king? And until we come back to the fact that Christ is king over all the earth, do we then capitulate because Jesus loves everybody, man of peace, yada, 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 as they infiltrate and invade us? I think it's a great issue that the church is going to have to deal with. And so, as you know, a lot of people don't like my form of Christianity. Jesus said, go ye into all the world, teach them to observe all I've commanded you, lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. Have nothing to do with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them. I could go on and on and on with aggressive Christian verses. I could go on and on with them. Some of them pulled out of context, maybe, right? But then I could get in an argument with another Christian who could quote to me a bunch of scriptures on how we're supposed to be peaceful and loving and caring and we're all God's children and blah, 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 blah. So when you take scripture out of context, man, you can go anywhere with it. That's why. Hey, Spencer, real quickly, pull up 42,000 different denominations, if you could, because I was telling my brother that last night, and he didn't think I was lying, but I want him to see for his own eyes. 42,000 different Christian denominations in America. We won't even get in the same huddle and run the same play. There it is, right there. 45,000 is a common estimate from the sinners. Can you click on that, Spence? Key figure and estimates.
Uh-huh.
Show me. There it is. 45,000 common estimate for the Center of Study of Global Christianity. 47,000. These are denominations. These are not churches, right? And then it gives you all the branches of them down there, right? What's your thought on that?
Well, I'm thinking about the Muslims. They feel that this is a sign that we are crazy and conquerable.
And why, right? Because half
we can't agree.
It's amazing. It really is amazing. And, you know, I have to confess, other than Canada, I've never left the United States. I don't have any idea what's going on in the world. But in fairness, my brother who's in Bahrain, he ain't got any idea what's going on here in Columbus, Ohio. He may think he does, but he doesn't, right? Because we're creatures of where we are in the environment that we're in. So to have a conversation with somebody who doesn't understand it, that's a difficult thing. And so for us to say, because I've been to Dearborn, Michigan, I've been to where the George Floyd thing happened, and I saw what was going on there, and I try to warn other Christians, they think I'm crazy because they just go to their little church and their little town, and they don't have any idea what's going on in the rest of the world. That's, in my opinion, part of the deception. Randy, come on in.
Yeah, Coach, we the evil has an agenda, Coach, and people that are caught in the middle, they may not even know what it is, but they're tools of that. If they don't have the Holy Spirit guiding them, amen, and in tune with him, you can be a Christian and be a tool of the devil, Coach. Okay. But Coach, I put in the chat the water. It's got a graph that shows the states with the most water. And you know, truly, where Ray is there in Wisconsin, they're number fourth state in the amount of
water. Click on that, Spencer. Can you click on that in the chat? Water, because it's about water.
So, Coach, I think you see something on the water. And I mean, the Muslims may be after the water. That may be true. But Coach, they're after any spot where the Christ is not king. They're after any spot where the church doesn't stand up and see Jesus as Lord. So they don't have any opposition there, Coach. That's the secularism is no opposition to Islam. The only opposition to Islam is Christianity, real Christianity. And I mean, your brother can tell you, you go over there, that when they see a real Christian, they respect them, they honor them. But when they see weak Christians, they don't do that. Why? Right. So, Coach, I think the church is the key to opposing Islam. Yes, we can do it in love. But standing up in their face with truth and with opposition, not violence, but with opposition, saying, you know, God is greater than Muhammad. Jesus is greater. And just be willing to debate them. But be willing to be a good neighbor, too. I mean, we win them with truth, not just love. So when we understand that, we will have no fear of Islam, and we can win the battle. Amen.
Coach. So on the screen it says data. Santa, data needs water. Humans need water. Water is a target. Water security is unregulated, not required, considering securing water-related critical and safety infrastructure for humanity this Christmas. Thank you, Cyber L. It's about water. Spencer, go to that. Hang on, Randy, hang on a second. Go over here to the chat, Spencer, where Randy posted the water. Go ahead, Randy.
No, and when it gets there, scroll down. And it's just a little graph. It'll show you the states, and you will be really surprised, Coach. It's in there at 637. There you go. So now scroll down to that graph, and you'll see what I'm talking. Keep right there, right there. Look at that, Coach.
Wow, the water's all up north. 10 states with the most water by area: Alaska, Michigan, Florida, Wisconsin. Up north, right? Coming down through, wow, Minnesota. Wow. It's all about that. Huh? Out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water is what the word says, right? Wow. Jeff Nell, come on in, then Greg.
Yeah, I was driving up to that place, to the ranch up by Sion, where you're supposed to be there. And I saw the bladder. A huge bladder. It was on a flatbed. Why would they do something like that? It's beyond me.
And a second point,
we have 30 gangs in our town. The Chinese have really moved in. Oh, and the gangs, the cartels, they're in this city. It's just amazing.
So folks, it doesn't matter what the whole idea of race, when they tell us racism, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what race you are. It's the heart of a man, right? It's the heart of a man. And the greatest weapon that the enemy has had is to divide and conquer, right? You're black, you're white, you're Chinese, you're Hispanic, you're right. And divide us into groups. And that's why we're in the position that we're in my opinion. Greg Yates, come on in.
Yeah, I look at your map of the crossroads, and what I see, Coach Dave, is the Ohio and the Missouri River crossing the Mississippi. That's the crossroads of America.
That's right.
You can run the freeways. You can go down I-70, but it's really the Ohio and Missouri River that flood east and west. The other thing I'd offer is don't just look at the area of a lake. You got to look at the depth. If you dump Lake Tahoe out on California, it's so deep it will cover the whole state with 2 inches of water. And there's a Lake Baikal in Russia that has 1/5 of the world's fresh water because it's so deep.
Amen. Boy, oh boy. What's the word? Distract. Make the issue. Craig.
Well, maybe Spencer can pull up that last link I put in there for him. And just, it's a letter that was intercepted by Albert Pike. And just go read what the plan is for the Third World War. Just read that one little paragraph.
Because
that's a strategy. This is long term.
Okay, let me stop here. Let me ask Joe this real quickly. Do you see Masonic influence at all?
I don't.
Then it's probably what Anglo. Wouldn't you say the Masonic is Anglo? Probably. Which do you want me to read, Craig? The whole which one?
Yeah, just the Third World War, because the other two have already happened.
Oh, the Third World War. Okay, scroll down a bit, Spence. The Third World War must be fomented. Oh, there you go. Must be fomented by taking advantage of the differences caused by the agentur of the Illuminati between the political Zionists and the leaders of the Islamic world. The war must be conducted in such a way that Islam and political Zionism mutually destroy each other. Meanwhile, the other nations, once more divided on the issue, will be constrained to fight the point of complete physical, moral, spiritual, and economic exhaustion. We shall unleash the nihilists and the atheists. We shall provoke a formidable social cataclysm, which in all its horror will show clearly to the nations the effect of absolute atheism, origin of savagery, and of the most bloody turmoil. Then everywhere, the citizens obliged to defend themselves against the worldly minority of revolutionaries will exterminate those destroyers of civilization, and the multitude disillusioned with Christianity, whose deist spirits will from the moment be without compass or direction, anxious for an ideal, but without knowing where to render its adoration or receive the true light through the universal manifestation of the pure doctrine of Lucifer brought finally out in the public view. This manifestation will result from the general reactionary movement, which will follow the destruction of Christianity and atheism, both conquered and exterminated at the same time. Okay, Craig, what did I just read there?
Well, that was a strategic plan back from the late 1800s, okay? And what you're seeing is they're working on implementing that.
Who's they?
The Illuminati, the Freemasonaries, and the Luciferians.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and they're now how they go about their little pieces to put the puzzle together, the tactics are different, but the strategy is the overall.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the strategy.
Joe's kind of scratching his head a little bit. What's your thoughts on that?
I never touched this topic.
Yeah. It is amazing, isn't it? The veins, the arteries that all connect in Christianity, hence 42,000 different denominations. But Albert Pike, I don't know if you know that, Albert Pike was the leader. What book did he write?
Book of Morals, Dogma.
Morals.
The problem is, Coach, is the previous First World War and Second World War weren't really too far off from his writings, okay, which were 40 to 50 years. I mean, if you read it, I don't want you to read it now, but people can do it themselves. They weren't really too far off, okay?
Jack, come on in.
Yep, all valid arguments, all valid concerns. Remember, it's always the spotlight game. Look over here, look over here. All of a sudden, we're all looking at Somalias, but the greenies are still top of the food chain.
And that one, Jack, are you telling me they have the enemy has a multifaceted offense? Is that what you're saying?
You think?
Huh? So good football teams like Ohio State playing tonight, they're going to beat Miami because they can run it and they can throw it and they can play good defense. And right, they multifaceted attacking in all areas. Is that what you're telling me?
Yep.
You don't have to tell me Ohio State can win. That's it, right?
Yeah, of course. Look at the solar things. Look at the solar things. They're taking more money from you than the Somalis with solar panels that don't ever do a thing. They never see one minute of optimal sun.
Let me pull the plug on you here a second. Okay, Joe and I have not discussed this really. So from your point, eschatological. Where's this going? Is it gonna be a rapture? How's this whole thing gonna play out?
Before you go there, I want to hear from the brothers, sisters on the call here. what's your take on the strength of the Republican Party as being a barrier to the fears of immigration that we were talking about here a little earlier? I read the newspaper headlines and I read the story if it's interesting, but it seems to me that there's a throttle hold on unwelcome migration in America, and that the ship is turning. And I don't know how you perceive that. You're living in it. I'm observing it. I'd like to hear anybody.
Okay, so first of all, just so you know this, most of these guys would consider themselves casual Republicans. In other words, that's the team you got to pick on, right? Well, yeah. That's our team, but yeah. We ain't all in on everything that's going on with it, right? We got our eyes open.
Yeah.
So anybody want to respond to what you just said? Moderator, go ahead.
Well, one of the things is you don't hear on this administration anything about the wall anymore, that we're building that, we're doing anything. You know, we're hearing ICE raids, but we're not hearing who's getting taken out, who's being removed. This administration now also is writing, I guess this is addressing your point, is because they're technically not letting more illegals in because they're giving more visas.
Hmm.
They're not, we're not being rescued here.
So I would think our perspective, Joe, would be it's an invasion to destroy Christianity. And that's what we would think.
Well, and the other point, you know, when they were moving, see, we had chances when the Coptic Christians were getting run out of their houses. Where'd those people go?
Mm-hmm.
They didn't come here. They weren't allowed to come here. But the people that have nothing to do with this culture are brought in here and the efforts to change it. Amen.
It's a clash of two kingdoms, right? So, folks, my perspective, Joe,
yeah.
We elected a Muslim president of the United States, Obama, right? Claimed he wasn't, but we all know he was, right? He was a Muslim, and that started all this Islamic invasion and all that stuff that's going on right now, because we weren't smart enough to understand that anybody can call themselves a Christian without being one. We weren't able we weren't able to differentiate it, right? So they lied to us, oh, he's a black man, and you know, America's so racist, and oh, if we could just ever elect a black man, but he wasn't a black man, he was a Muslim, and the Muslim infiltration began with the approval of Obama, in my not so humble opinion. So come on in, Adam.
Hey guys. I think this is part of what was referred to as the browning of America. There's so much anti-white racism going on right now, where they teach everybody who's not white that they're the oppressed and the white man is the oppressor. And they're doing that because they know, by and large, the world's population is not white. It's brown and it's mostly Muslim.
Mm-hmm.
And so they hate Christianity.
Adam, listen, if you start to say that, they'll just call you a racist. Right? Well, you can't talk to Adam. He's just a racist. When, in fact, they feed us racism day after day after day after day. After
Amen,
day.
Coach.
Right. And if you stand up against what they're saying, then you're the racist. You're the bigot. You're the anti-Semite. Yada, yada. They call us names and we go back in hiding because we don't want to be called names.
I just tell people, you can call me whatever you want. I love everybody. But if you want to call me racist, go right ahead. Because you know what? Names don't hurt me.
Well, hey, Adam, it's so simple. There's only two races. Those racing for heaven, those racing for hell. Right. Ultimately, that's what we're dealing with. Craig, come on back in. You got to speak up if you want to speak.
Yeah, I'm good.
Okay, go ahead.
I just put in the chat, and as this was coming over local feed, you know, anywhere where you see these big warehouses, you know, live by an interstate that are empty, okay, and a big, beautiful bill, $45 billion to build family and large detention centers in the United States. $45 billion. So you see those empty warehouses?
Yep.
They're going to be turned into.
They're going to lock us all up. Yada yada yada. I mean, that's who knows, right?
But,
who
well, knows and, well, what I'm saying is, those are deportation centers. This is where the people. Okay, this is for ICE to put the people in to move them out.
Wow.
That was in a big, beautiful bill.
Oh, what a time! Where am I here, Craig? Jeff, quickly. We only got about 6 minutes left. Tell us your story, not your life story.
We have to think about depopulation. A lot of people, the rich, want Muslim to kill the Christian. They get a lot of pushback from this area.
The churches don't even promote having children anymore. They don't even promote it.
There was a spectacular, and it was Oasis, New Beginnings, and the Methodist Church. Methodist affirm homosexuality.
Okay, so time out right. Hang on. I see you other guys here. Hang on here. So what's 5 minutes left? What's the solution?
I'm going to listen to the guys. I want to hear what they're going to say.
Okay. I mean, this is probably pretty unique because, Bahrain, you don't hear this kind of stuff, I don't imagine, regularly. So let's get Jack in. Jack, tell us your story, not your life story. Go ahead.
Okay. If you remember, to answer Chad's question, building a wall is not synonymous with closing the border. See? When the issue isn't the issue, what's the issue? Here we go again.
Distract, right? Amen. Randy.
And we got to learn the words, Coach. Well, you got to use the right words. Immigrant, migrant, invasion. There's three different things there. They're not the same. We love immigrants. Immigrants are building, assimilating. The invasion is what we have been subjected to.
Or as Cheryl said, insurgents, not immigrants, insurgents, right? That's so words have meaning. Words have meaning. Go ahead, Randy.
No, God built the nations, Coach. This is his program. Okay. We have to be okay with nations. Every nation can have the nation of God inside of it if they want it. But Coach, the problem isn't, the problem lies in the countries who love life, whether they're Islam or Christianity. It doesn't, God loves life. If he loves life, which nation is he going to bless? Is he going to bless the countries that hate life and don't want children? No, he wants life. So, Coach, he just wants us to them to find him and move into the kingdom of God and out of darkness. So the problem isn't the nation and its sovereignty. God expects them to keep sovereignty. Okay, that's a good thing. But that isn't the issue to me. Isn't the borders? The issue is the culture of the nation. You get blessings by being obedient to and honoring God's word. And the ones who don't want children, who are against it, they're not going to be blessed, Coach. So you got to look at where God's blessing is. It's on His word.
Randy, I want to get this in real quickly here. Pull up for me number five. Never forget. Okay, let me just play this little clip as we kind of go out here. I mean, never forget, folks. Propaganda, media propaganda. Which side's the media on? Watch this clip. Go ahead. Over COVID.
Vaccinated. You are the problem. It is the unvaccinated who are the problem.
Truth. Maybe they should be shamed. But the unvaccinated.
It's time to start blaming the unvaccinated folks, not the regular folks.
We can't trust the unvaccinated.
The unvaccinated, a group that includes children and people acting like children.
When are we going to stop putting up with the idiots in this country and just say, you now, it's mandatory to get vaccinated?
Oh, you can't shame them. You can't call them stupid. You can't call them silly. Yes, they are.
Those who are not vaccinated will end up paying the price.
The unvaccinated should be taxed. They should pay more for health care.
We need to start looking at the choice to remain unvaccinated the same as we look at driving while intoxicated.
Really, the only people dying are the unvaccinated. And for those of you spreading misinformation, shame on you.
We've got to shun folks. We've got to shun people into
getting... We need to shun those that refuse to get vaccinated.
The unvaccinated people have put us in the position that we're in now, and it is not a good place.
You got to start telling people, if you don't get vaccinated, you can't come into this office or this place of business. If you don't get vaccinated, you can't come to work.
No, screw your freedom.
Freedom is a fragile thing, and it's never more than one generation away from extinction.
The man come not from the generosity of the state, but from the hand of God.
Never forget. Joe, say goodbye to them all. Goodbye, y'all. Hope to see you again. Amen. Thanks for being out there, folks. Look at no show tomorrow. I'm going to stay up and get drunk all night, and I don't want to be slobbering on the show in the morning. So we'll see you the next day. Give Spencer a paid day off, right? Good to see you, Jeff Nell. God bless you all. Stand up for Jesus. See you here in a couple of days.